I think one of the most normal activities in the world must be going to the supermarket. I mean, we've all done it at one time or another, right? When we go to do something as common as this, we don't expect anything out of the ordinary to happen. My name is Logan, and I live in a very quiet neighborhood where insecurity is minimal and the police are everywhere. I do urban scouting, and in those cases, I'm always prepared for danger. But on the day where I was most in danger, where my life was most at risk, I was not prepared. The story I'm about to tell you is about the day I discovered that there is no such thing as a quiet place. No matter how ordinary and boring the place is, the unexpected and terrifying will always manage to catch up with you. That day, I was going to do some quick shopping. I really considered not going since I was going the next day anyway, but I didn't want to spend the night short of supplies, so I mustered up the energy to get out of bed and went anyway. The supermarket was pretty empty, as it was a Thursday and Friday was the discount day. I remember that had made me happy. There would be few people in line to pay. A person standing next to me surprised me. The man was bald and very white, but with an unnatural skin tone. It was as if he were a corpse. He was dressed like a waiter, and in his hand, he had a tray with cut pieces of meat ready to eat.
"Sir, would you like a free sample?"
He may have said those words to me in a friendly tone, but his face was absolutely terrifying. His eyes were huge and white, and they were shaking almost as hard as his body. His big grin from ear to ear was frozen. But without a doubt, the weirdest thing was definitely that he kept his gaze fixed on me, not blinking for a second.
"Oh, you scared me."
"No thanks."
"Come on, I'm sure you're dying to try this delicious meat. Don't be shy."
"It's not shyness. It's just that I'm a vegetarian. I'm sorry." As soon as I told him that I'm a vegetarian, the man did not stop looking at me, but his smile looked more forced, and the tremors in his body became more intense.
"Sir, I must go. It was a pleasure."
Uncomfortably, I pushed my cart away as quickly as possible and went to another section of the supermarket. The man was still there, frozen, staring at me. I took a few more steps and grabbed a carton of milk. I turned around nervously, knowing that the man was probably not gone. But I couldn't stop myself from looking in the direction where I had seen him. To my surprise, my hunch was correct. In the distance, walking in slow motion with his eyes focused on me, the man was coming with his tray of free meat samples. I walked away rather quickly and looked at him from behind, not hiding the fact that this man terrified me. As I looked back again, he was still walking behind me, but at a much faster pace. He seemed to be running. What did this man want to do to me? He had gone crazy. We were in the middle of a supermarket. I went to the place where the smallest line was, assuming he wouldn't dare to harass me there. I was wrong. The man stood in front of me as he did in the beverage section, and with his maniacal voice, he started talking to me in a much more nervous and angry tone than before, but without losing his smile.
"Sir, I think you really should try some free samples. You know we have the best meat. Once you try it, you won't be able to say no."
"I'm 5 seconds away from calling security. Get away from me now."
"But sir, the free samples. Are you going to miss this one chance to eat our meat?
That's enough."
Angrily, I went to the security guard, but on the way, the man dropped the tray and grabbed me from behind, choking me with one hand, while with the other, he tried to put pieces of meat in my mouth.
"Sir, I insist that you should try our free sample. I promise you, you won't regret it. It's the best meat in the country."
The man had almost inhuman strength. He was choking me harder and harder, and as I opened my mouth to get some air, I felt like he was about to shove that disgusting meat in my mouth. There was surely something else, and I didn't want to check what. Almost giving in to his strength, I began to lose consciousness, when suddenly, someone saved me. A security man lunged at him and stopped him, while another came to my rescue. The security guard held him long enough for me to pull away, while the free sample man just stared at me. One of the cashiers stopped to come with me.
"Sir, are you all right?"
Yes, I'm fine now."
"I don't know what happened to you. You've gone totally crazy. We're sorry."
"No,
No problem. I really don't know what happened to him.
We'll take care of him. You carry your shopping for free. No problem.
No. I couldn't. I'll go pay now. Just let me get my cart together.
Anyway, you shouldn't leave without trying a free sample.
What?
When I turned around, the girl was staring at me with the same smile as the free sample man. I looked at the security man, and none of them were struggling with the psycho. They were all standing there, staring at me with the same macabre smile.
It's just some mead. You will be okay, and it's quite good, too.
I looked around, and a few other employees were also staring at me, while their co-workers were looking at them in confusion. The cashier started walking towards me with a piece of meat that I don't know where she got, and I ran as far away from the supermarket as possible. As I walked away, I could see how the rest of the people were also leaving, scared. From the door, the man at the beginning stared at me, smiling, holding up a piece of meat, as if offering it to me. The next day, my neighbors told me that the supermarket had been closed. Some of the more conspiratorial neighbors told me that there were cult meetings at night. I must admit that although it sounds crazy, it could be true. I never understood why they wanted to offer me that meat or why I was the target of those psychopaths. Today, I've come to realize that I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Do you know what the most ironic thing about this is? Some neighbors told me that they tried some free samples the day before all this happened, and they told me that the meat wasn't even that good.
Being a European person, it's no news that I need alcohol frequently. Since the day I moved to the States, I cannot find a decent place to get my beer from. So, I had to settle for beer brought from the grocery store. It's not bad, but it's not as good as the beer I used to have back home. Luckily, there is a small family grocery store one block away from my condo. Although the family that runs the store is Chinese, they have stuff from all over the world in their small store. When I found out from my neighbor that the tofu sold in that store is pretty good, I started frequenting the store. Mr. Chang and his wife quickly became my friends. For them, I was the tall, blonde girl with blue eyes who was always smiling. They could not pronounce my name, Valencia Maxwell, so they settled on calling me Val. When I told them how much I hate the beer sold in the States, they offered to order beer for me from my home country if I bought it in bulk. I was more than delighted to do that, so I asked them to order a few dozen cans for me. I also paid some advance, and now I'm one of their favorite customers, especially Mrs. Chang. She loved me like her own daughter, who was studying at MIT. She many times made some extra Chinese food for me. For me, the best part of living in the U.S. had become the Chang family. However, the neighborhood I lived in was a few blocks away from the rough neighborhood of the city. So, frequently, we would hear about break-ins into homes, restaurants, shops, and sometimes even street fights, or, in the worst case, murders. But most of my neighborhood was oblivious to all this, as things never seemed to happen in our neighborhood. One evening, as always, I visited the Chang's family supermarket with the hopes of grabbing a beer. Although I paid for all the beer as soon as it was delivered, I did not take all the beer home. I had no space in my fridge to store it, so Mrs. Chang offered to keep it in their big fridges. Hey, Mrs. Chang, how are you today? Oh, Val, I'm amazing as always. You here for the beer? Yes, ma'am. Okay, just grab this tiffin while you leave. It's already late instead of ordering food. Just eat what I have packed for you. When I went to the counter with my beer in hand, I said, Thanks so much for the meal, Miss Chang. You make sure I don't miss my mother all the way here. You are like my own child, Val. Eat up well, and do not forget to lock the doors and windows behind you. That was weird. Mrs. Chang never told me to lock my door and windows before that. Why, Mrs. Chang? What happened? Did you not hear? Hear what? Oh, Val, someone broke into an apartment upstairs on the third floor, stole a bunch of stuff. Thank God the owner wasn't home. Otherwise, who knows, he might have even been shot. This was terrifying for me to know, as I lived alone in my condo. Mrs. Chang's supermarket was situated on the ground floor of the residential building. That night onwards, I double-checked my doors and windows before going to bed and before leaving for work. After that break-in, the whole neighborhood was on edge. The cops couldn't find out who the culprit was, which means the thief was on the loose and could attack our neighborhood. Everyone was acting as if our neighborhood was haunted. It was funny in an ironic way. I, too, made sure to do everything I could to keep my place safe. However, I did visit Mrs. Chang daily. One evening, I had to work extra late. It was almost 11 p.m. by the time I drove into my block. The next day was a weekend, so I did not mind getting home late. But while going home, I remembered that I had no beer at home, so I decided to take a pit stop at the supermarket and grab a few cans to last me for the weekend. I was also going to have a small get-together with colleagues at my place, so I decided to take more cans with me than usual. As I entered the supermarket, Mrs. Chang was behind the counter counting cash from a register. "Hey, Mrs. Chang," I greeted her as I made my way to the back of the store in search of a familiar fridge. "You late tonight," I could hear Mrs. Chang say from her position. But as soon as I opened the fridge to get my cans, I heard a glass break from the front of the store. I was just about to run to the front to see what happened when I heard a male voice.
"Hey, you, old lady. Anyone in the shop?"
The male voice sounded angry and agitated. "No, it's just me. My husband just left. Please, do not hurt me," Mrs. Chang pleaded with the intruder. Till then, I snuck into a few aisles towards the front. That's when I saw the man wearing a ski mask pointing a gun at Mrs. Chang's head. My first reaction was to run towards her, but when I heard what she said, I knew what she wanted me to do. "I'm alone. You can take whatever you want from the supermarket," she said with a trembling voice, trying hard to be strong. She was trying to make the intruder believe that there was no one except her in there. I immediately pulled up my phone and called 911. I told the cops what was happening.
"Hey, old lady, give me all the cash you have. Put it in this bag,"
the intruder shouted at Mrs. Chang, whose eyes were tearing. Accidentally, in my effort of going back to my previous spot, I knocked over a bottle of jam and it clattered to the ground.
"Who's there? Who's there? You better come out, or I'll shoot the old lady,"
the thief said in a very loud voice. I knew I had no choice but to show my face in order to save Mrs. Chang. And in our circumstance, I didn't want to let her get hurt or die alone, but I was still hesitant. "It's just a stray cat that comes at night sometimes," Mrs. Chang tried to save me, but the intruder was smarter.
"Huh, you think you can fool me, old hag?"
And he hit her face with the butt of his gun. That's when I stepped out of my hiding spot. But little did the intruder know that I had called the cops. Therefore, on purpose, I hid my phone underneath a pickle jar. The moment he saw me, the intruder approached me with his gun. Aiming at my head, he searched my pockets while he pointed the gun in my face. He found some money in my pockets, but I was clever. I had left my purse along with my ID cards in the back of the store, so he couldn't find anything of value for me. Till then, Mrs. Chang had filled the bag with money. "Here, take this bag and leave us alone," Mrs. Chang said to the armed robber. When he took the bag from her hand, he hit her again with his gun and fired a bullet into my shoulder.
"Where's the rest of the money, you Chinese bitch?"
"That's all we made today," Mrs. Chang told him while she kept on sobbing. That's when we all could hear the sirens coming our way.
"You bitch! You called the cops!"
he yelled at me. I just shook my head, lying to him that I didn't. As the cops approached us, the intruder panicked, looked here and there. At the end of the supermarket, there was a back door that Mr. Chang often used. The intruder ran towards that door, he yanked it open, and bam! He fell on his ass and hit his head on a metal shelf, and he fainted on the spot. Mr. Chang entered the supermarket with a worried look on his face and a frying pan in his hand. I had not just called the cops, but Mr. Chang as well. He might have heard our conversation with the robber and figured out that the thief might use the back door to run. He took the bag of money and the gun from his hand and ran towards me and Mrs. Chang. I was holding her in my arms as she cried. Soon the cops arrived and the thief was caught. He was a homeless man. When the cops left and Mr. Chang was okay, I grabbed my beer and the tiffin that was supposedly still on the counter and was about to step out when I remembered something. "Hey, Mrs. Chang, I clearly remember you counting a thick bundle of hundreds while I walked in. How come the intruder only had 500 bucks in his bag? Mrs. Chang smiled and replied, "While he was looking at you, I dropped a bundle to the floor and only gave him the 10s and 20s. I may not have laughed that hard in days, but it was truly scary to have a gun pointed at my head.
When I was 19 years old, I learned something that has stuck with me for over 10 years. It feels like it was just yesterday when I learned that priceless lesson all women should carry close to their heart. A week before that traumatizing day, I visited the mall. I was a full-time nursing student and a full-time server at my local diner. This meant I was on my feet all day and was only getting a few hours of sleep. And of course, that meant my feet were always killing me. I scheduled some time in my hectic schedule and walked into Foot Locker in my local mall. I resisted entering any other store, beautiful articles of clothing calling my name as I walked through the array of stores. I simply didn't have the time for anything but to buy shoes.
"Welcome to Foot Locker,"
smiled a middle-aged man wearing a green shirt.
"We have a BOGO special going on. That means you buy one, get the second half off special."
He grinned as he finished his explanation. I explained the situation. I needed the most comfortable shoes in existence. I didn't care how they looked. I didn't care for the price. I needed relief for my feet. He nodded understandingly. He glanced at my feet. A few seconds passed, and still he stared intently at my feet. I was wearing some old sandals, and I began feeling self-conscious of his stare. He persisted, deep in thought.
"You're a size 8 in shoes, but a 7.5 in sandals,"
he whispered, still staring. Yeah, exactly," I said, a little perplexed. He wasn't asking. He was stating a fact.
"I know just the thing."
And with that, he walked behind me. I took a seat and waited. A few minutes passed and he came back. He wore deep sadness on his face.
"We don't have your size,"
he said, as if ashamed.
"But we can order them, and they'll be here next week."
His voice was heavy with despair. "Hey, it's okay," I said brightly, trying to cheer him up. "My schedule is a little tight, so I can't come next week, but I can pick them up the following one." He brightened up. We agreed I'd return. And with that, I left the store. As I left, a few of the employees stared at me curiously. They frowned slightly, as if I was doing something wrong. I dismissed it and left. I had a few minutes to spare, so I roamed around JCPenney. As I glanced around, I couldn't help but feel like I was being watched. I felt eyes on me, despite the store being virtually empty. When I turned to any direction, a body would quickly turn the corner, making me wonder if I was imagining it. I wasn't going to let my imagination ruin my only free time. I continued browsing. 4 weeks passed until I was able to visit the mall again. I was able to carve 45 minutes out of my schedule and rushed back to the Foot Locker. I was afraid my shoes had been sold to someone else since so much time had passed. Luckily, a familiar face greeted me as I entered late one evening before the store closed.
"Hi, Jane,"
said the man with the green shirt. How did he know my name? And was he wearing the same green shirt? I realized I was being paranoid. He must have seen my name for my credit card payment. That was still a little weird, but a pushy salesman is no cause for concern. It wasn't a crime to take interest in the client, right? I smiled.
"Size 8 blue Nikes, right?"
He winked. I smiled with discomfort. He ran with excitement and pulled a box from under a seat. Had he been waiting for me? The box wasn't in the back.
"Take a seat, please."
I sat.
"May I?"
he said. But before I could answer, he fell to one knee and began pulling my sandal off. I was frozen with discomfort. I was deeply aware of his thin and wiry fingers touching the skin of my feet.
"Hey, mister,"
came a stern voice behind me. He looked up from his kneeling position, but continued touching my feet.
"Sir,"
repeated the voice behind me. The man in the green shirt focused his gaze on my feet, pretending not to listen.
We told you. You cannot be here.
The voice thundered. I turned and saw multiple employees, all in uniform, standing behind me. The man speaking wore a badge on his chest that read, "Manager." The man in the green shirt continued to hold my foot. Then, multiple things happened at once. First, the manager screamed, indicating the police were on their way. Secondly, a camera snapshot sound caught my attention. I looked back at the man in the green shirt and saw he had taken a picture of my feet while still kneeling before me. As my brain tried to digest and comprehend everything that was happening, the man in the green shirt lifted my foot close to his face and brushed his wet tongue from my toes to my ankle. My instincts jump-started my frozen terror. I kicked hard, knocking his glasses off his face, but he moved quickly. Within fractions of a second, he was up and sprinting towards the exit. As he made his way out, he looked at me and said,
"Delicious feet, Jane. Just delicious."
He winked and was out sprinting. I sat frozen. Multiple employees comforted me, but all their voices were a blur. All I could do was stare at the saliva streak on my foot. All I could do was replay the feeling of a slathering tongue on my skin. The police arrived, and I explained to them that I had assumed he was the owner of the store, since he wasn't wearing a uniform and was so knowledgeable about shoes. I had assumed a lot of things, and they had all been wrong. I broke down in tears. The store staff and law enforcement comforted me, saying my mistakes were understandable. A lot of other women had assumed he worked there, though he hadn't assaulted anyone but me. I was filled with disgust, fear, and shame, but after filing a report with the police, I grabbed my things and left the store. I exited, seeking the nearest bathroom with urgency. I needed to wash my foot. I needed to clean it as extensively as humanly possible. I wanted to scrub that part of my body until my skin was raw. I did not want any remnants or trace of that disgusting man. The mall was deserted, as most stores were now closed. I rushed into a bathroom near JCPenney. I lathered soap onto my ankle and leg. The tears came again. How did I end up here? Alone, in a mall bathroom after hours, cleaning the disgusting saliva of a stranger from my foot? I balanced on one leg when the voice came.
"Hello, Jane."
I turned, and in that instance, the click of a camera echoed in the bathroom. The man in green's head and torso rose above the bathroom stall. His phone's camera clicked again and again. I shrieked in horror and stumbled on one foot, but as I stabilized, the man in the green shirt shoved me against the wall. My body crashed against the tiled wall. I fell to the ground as he clawed and grasped my feet. He tore my sandals off and said in a shrill and chilling voice,
"One more taste, baby. Just one more taste."
I laid, immobilized, back and head throbbing with pain. His hands possessed monstrous strength as he pinned me down, and his face began falling towards my feet. His tongue hung out of his mouth like a wild animal. A drop of saliva landed on my toe, his tongue exploding with anticipation. I shrieked with desperation. A voice responded from outside the bathroom.
"What's going on in there?"
said a calm and elderly voice. The man in the green shirt snarled and looked up. He was more animal than man. The bathroom door opened. An old man sporting a janitor's uniform peeked in, his face contorted with fear as he realized what he had just walked into. The man in the green shirt lunged forward, pushed the janitor out of the way, and ran for the mall's exit. I had been saved. That horrific evening, I learned something I carry close to my heart. Never trust blindly. Never assume everyone is there to help you. Never believe everyone will do the right thing, because while I got out of it alive, it can ultimately cost you your life.